This morning's responsive reading was taken from Proverbs chapter 13, verses 13 to 25. So if you have a Bible, may I invite you to follow along for just a few passing comments from this portion of God's Word. Once again, what do we have in the book of Proverbs, at least in this portion of the book? We have a father who happens to be a king. And we know that being a king, just like being a president or a prime minister, takes a lot out of an individual, especially when there's crucial decisions to make. And unfortunately, when either one of these particular people, whether it's a president, prime minister, or a king, needs to go off to war, there's a lot of planning, there's a lot of strategy or strategizing to know that you're going to send off armies of your young men off into battle. So it's quite challenging for anyone to be in this particular position of authority, even in our own day. And so this king, King Solomon, besides having all of that on his plate day after day, he's also a father. And he has a daunting responsibility to at least give some attention to his children. Now at this time, I would imagine that kings may not have had too much of a direct time with their children. That was probably given to a lot of nannies or nurses or maybe even the mom. Fathers were, especially a king, had so much on their plate. They may have not have had that much time to spend quality time, as we would call it today, with their children. But nonetheless, it's quite evident that Solomon did make time. And in that time that he had, he wrote down a lot of things that he would leave behind to his children, and especially Rehoboam, who would be the next king who would follow Solomon in that Davidic line. So Solomon may not have had the quality time to play catch or to play cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians, whatever. May have not have had the time to take him hunting or fishing, per se. But at least Solomon left behind a book, the book of Proverbs. Okay? So he left his son with a lot of wisdom to put into play when he would become king. And so when we look at verse 13, for instance, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Now let's use our Hebrew parallelism, as I've taught you over the years. It's quite evident that the word despiseth, okay, is in opposition to the word feareth. All right? Now, the one who despises the word, okay, is a very foolish person. Now, we have to identify what is being referred to as the word. Is it just any word? Is it just any book that you can pick up and read? Is it any 15-minute media news clip that we're talking about? No. Because notice in verse 13, what is the parallel or what is the definition of the word in the second half of verse 13? The commandment. So Solomon leaves no wiggle room here for us to speculate. What we find in verse 13 is an admonishment when it comes to the Word of God, the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. So with that understanding, okay, also notice the contrast, a sharp contrast. The one who despises is going to be ultimately destroyed in the end. In contrast, the one who fears is going to be rewarded. So notice the beautiful Hebrew parallelism that enables you to unlock the understanding to the book of Proverbs. And when we come to this part of the Proverbs, where Solomon takes similar things and kind of either compares them or contrasts them just in one sentence with a comma, you have a part A and a part B. And it's up to you to notice either the contrast or the comparison or the similarity that Solomon is trying to convey. So the person who is foolish enough, arrogant enough, haughty enough to despise what he either hears or reads from God's Word, whether in a Sunday school class or from a pulpit or from sitting upon grandma or grandpa's lap with an open Bible, and grandparents are reading the scriptures and giving the interpretation or the understanding, that little child that sits on grandma or grandpa's lap needs to have their ears attuned to what they're hearing. And when it comes to those of us who go into God's house, like today, you may not like the pastor's delivery style. You may not like the color of his attire on that particular Sunday morning. You may not like the pitch to his voice, the times when he elevates his volume, or the times when he draws you in by lowering his volume to cause you to lean into his message. You may not like all those styles and techniques of public speaking. But the question is, what is the content of what he's saying? Now, if it's simply his own mental speculations, then put it to the test of God's word. And if he's out to lunch, pray for him. But if he happens to be giving you the word of God, the caution here this morning is, do not be so foolish as to despise what you're hearing simply for the sake of the one who's giving it to you. And we've seen that in this church. You know, style versus substance. Well, beloved, you may not have the most eloquent speaker in your presence. You may not have the most well-educated man in your presence with a whole bunch of diplomas. But if the individual is giving you the meat and the milk of God's word, and it happens to be the truth, then style is to be put aside and substance is to be taken in. So that's my admonishment here this morning based on verse 13. Okay. Then he follows in verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. Now we all know the imagery of a fountain of life. Is not Jesus called living water? Is he not the fountain of living water himself? Is not the scriptures called the words of life? Is not the Bible likened to water? It's also likened to a seed. It's likened to fire. It's likened to meat. It's likened to milk. It's likened to medicine for the soul. It's also likened to water. And so the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And so once again, verse 14 kind of complements that verse 13. Excuse me, if somebody is so foolish and so arrogant and so haughty and so full of pride to blow off the word of God, then that individual is showing to you and I that they're not a wise person. That person is showing you and I that they have no desire to drink from the fountain of life. They have no desire to depart from the traps and the snares and the pitfalls and the potholes of this world that will lead to self-destruction, death, and then eternal death. Verse 15, good understanding giveth favor. Well, where do we find that good understanding? Well, I believe we got to go back to that verse 13. Don't despise that word. Do not despise the commandment. That's where you find good understanding, give it favor. So notice God's word not only is a fountain of life that causes you and I to depart from the traps of this evil world, but the Bible gives you and I good understanding and therefore grants favor. What are we told about John the Baptist and Jesus as they were growing up? They found favor or grace in the eyes of both God and man. Both John the Baptist and Jesus have those attributes laid upon them. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. So notice, having favor is contrasted with hardness or the difficulty that comes with simply blowing off God's word. Notice verses 20 as we continue. Just looking at a few of these vignettes. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, stands to reason. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So notice, walking is implied in both, the wise and the foolish. And we're not talking about their physical, literal steps from point A to point B. We're talking, in a figurative speech, this idea of the one who's walking. We're looking at the overall behavior, the overall bent, the overall direction of their lifestyle. All right? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Well, if you hang around good associations, that association is going to rub off on you. However, if you're going to be a companion of fools and idiots, then that association will also rub off on you. And what happens, according to verse 20? It leads to, again, destruction. And so, beloved, once again, we have a king who's very busy. He's receiving ambassadors from the surrounding nations of his time, probably entering into certain treaties, certain arrangements for trade and commerce, probably sending off men off to war, off to battle, knowing that some will not return back home. And yet he's a father. And he has a responsibility to even minister to his children, especially the next king, which would have been Rehoboam, as you read the historical narrative in the book of Kings and Chronicles. So Solomon may not have had time to play ball with his son, but he left him something that was worth more than playing catch. He left him the book of Proverbs. And that book was a manual on living, and living well, and to be blessed by God, if God so desires. Well, may God choose in the final analysis to bless his word.